all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense for a Tuesday, February 21st. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. It was beautiful with an inch of snow that fell yesterday. And then we moved it out of the way because there's like 20 more inches coming or something like that, depending on which version of Snowmageddon you will listen to. Jennifer Vachitsky from Weatherology will join us in just over an hour to give us what she has to say about this massive storm that is coming in. And it's tough to downplay just how bad they're making it sound for a large swath of southern Minnesota into western Wisconsin. So details on that coming up in just a bit. Coming up on the program today, while lots of attention is being given to TikTok as an app that might have, you know, questionable security safeguards, the truth is we use plenty of programs that have the potential to cause harm, including some programs that are based right here in this country. So politicians who like to go on and on about China this and China that maybe could be looking at companies that they could actually have some influence over in order to protect people. To that end, we will talk to State Representative Jody Emerson about the way social media platforms can be used by human traffickers and why some believe the companies running these apps aren't doing enough to stop it. So we'll talk to Jody in our second hour today, and we'll go to Homeroom for Civic Media and talk to Chad Holmes of Bull Falls Radio, find out what's happening up in the Wausau area. To reach us, you can send us an email. That's radio@upnorthnewswi.com is the email address. You can also reach the studio at 844-967-2789, or the Up North line is 715-388-7155. Either way, you call that up and you're going to find yourself on the line with one Aaron Zommers, who joins us from Madison now. Mr. Zommers, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
I'm pretty good. You know, I've got enough gas for the snow blower. I've got the shovel ready to go here. And now we just wait to see how right or how wrong they'll be. I've noticed a lot of people here hearing this forecast of anywhere from 18 to 25 inches, you know, stretching from the Twin Cities here to, you know, Chippewa County. And they're not getting that riled up because I think at least the last two times that they talked about a foot of snow or more, we didn't get close to that. And so I'm a little worried that people are going to be caught off guard this time if it's as bad as it is. But I don't feel like anybody's in panic mode yet. But I will say those maps look a little scary.
Yeah, I feel like any time that you don't take it seriously is when it's going to be bad. And anytime you prepare and get everything ready to go, you have a couple little flurries. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's always best to be prepared, whether you're a Boy Scout or not. You know, you don't want to be caught unaware. So today, this morning especially, would really be the best final time to go out and get, you know, just make sure you're stocked up on milk or, you know, coffee, whatever it is you need. If you're just going to sit at home, if there's going to be a snow day in parts of the state on Thursday, which does appear likely, you know, what do you want there? Go out and get it now. If you got to run any errands, you know, go do that. Here's what you don't do. Don't go through a car wash because it's going to be snowy and slushy anyway. And more importantly, Aaron, don't go through the car wash and ignore that little ding that indicates you didn't shut your door all the way. Or, like me yesterday, you will end up with the side of your left leg soaked by a blast of water that comes in at some point. The kind of thing you think only happens on TV or in the movies or, you know, sitcoms or whatever can actually happen if you hear that ding and you just kind of disregard it, like, yeah, I'll pull my door shut in a minute. No, you're in a car wash. And so the left side of my car seat is clean. It's properly waxed. You know, it's got that Rusty's shine. But don't do that anymore. Car washes are off limits probably till about the time this all melts and goes away. So there you go. What are they predicting down by you? Are they still saying like just Well, actually, they don't even know down at that point where, whether you're going to get rain or snow, do they?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware. Either way, it's not going to be nearly as much, which is okay with me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was going to say, you guys got the last two that we didn't get anything from up here on Lake Wissota. This would be a good time to remind everybody that it is Election Day. And so please go vote. If you need to know where your polling place is, go to myvote.wi.gov. You can also find out if you're registered, but you can also ask right there at the polling place. Wisconsin still has same-day voter registration. And so it would be great to have you get out there and take part in a Supreme Court primary. There is a primary in the state Senate for a special election in the 8th District in the Milwaukee area. And then there are school boards or other instances where if the field of candidates is sufficiently large, the primary is designed to peel that back. So again, today, very important, especially for the state Supreme Court race, to go ahead and vote. A reminder that we've got Jody Emerson and Chad Holmes coming up later. And then sometime today, I'm going to post that reminder that New Mexico came up with a state aroma for roasting a certain type of pepper. Just reminds everybody of New Mexico. What if Wisconsin had a state aroma? Would it be like the pine trees? Would it be the yeast from the breweries and the bakeries? Would it be tailgating before a Brewers game? Or would you go with the dairy air from the farm? Although I think we'd want to go with something that other states would be jealous of. So, you know, keep all that in mind as you add to our discussion. You can do so where you're watching this right now on Facebook, if you're doing so. Take a break. Talk about today's headlines. Coming back, you're up north. Welcome back to Up North News Radio for Tuesday, February 21st. Let's check some sports now at 6:15 in the morning. The Brewers, of course, are in the midst of spring training right now, and Christian Yelich talked to the media about the 2023 season, and obviously he's going to try to improve a bit on last year's .252 batting average, get back to that MVP form that he had back in the 2018-2019 range. But, I mean, he is 31 years old now. It's his sixth season with the Brewers. He's going to be making $26 million this year, however he works. But he said he had a very relaxing offseason. He was off the grid, which is pretty easy to do when you live in a Malibu beach house. And he did understand just how disappointed everybody was about the Brewers' collapse last season. The team, you'll recall, got off to their best ever start after 50 games. They won 32 of their first 50 games. But then all the rest of the way, they went four games under 500, and they just missed the postseason for the first time since 2017. And so expect to hear a lot from Yelich and others saying, instead of talking about, you know, how deep are you going to go into the playoffs, how about we make the playoffs first? I think there was a lot of humility to pass around the clubhouse after the end of last season. Giannis Antetokounmpo is day by day on that sprained wrist ligament that he sustained right before the All-Star break. He only played a few seconds of the All-Star game and then sat out and basically coached the team for the rest of the time after that. And the team is off until Friday, thankfully. They're at home on Friday night against Miami, and hopefully the big man feels a little bit better at that point. The new AP basketball polling is out for college men's basketball. The Marquette men's basketball team is the 10th ranked team in the country. The Golden Eagles play tonight at Creighton. The Badger men's basketball team, meanwhile, is at home tomorrow night versus Iowa. There are many ways that we'd love to have you watch or listen to what we do here. Again, if you're watching on Facebook, you can leave a comment either on our poll question for the week, or anything that you hear, anything that you think the show should be discussing. And if you put a comment under there, we could bring it up on the video feed that you can watch on Facebook. And you can do that at Up North News WI. That's our handle on Facebook, or Civic Media US, or Bull Falls Radio, our station in Wausau. Go to any of those. You can watch the show. And obviously, we hope you're listening on one of the many Civic Media stations that continue to grow around the state. Coming up on Wednesday, tomorrow, we're going to have a very interesting show here where we talk to two other assembly reps. We're talking to Jody Amberson coming up in our next hour. But we're going to be talking tomorrow to State Representatives Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, basically about the next thing in terms of manufactured anger. Because there is a political class in this country that cannot win on their ideas. Their ideas are not popular. So they have to air grievances or spew out bad information, get people angry, and get people to vote for them that way out of fear. There is the amount of people who voted for Ron Johnson, while it was more than Mandela Barnes, the number of people who voted for Ron Johnson, I would argue, is much smaller, but that enough other people were scared about something or aggrieved by something that they heard. And most recently, it was CRT, critical race theory. But, you know, you can only ride that horse for so long when people realize that that's not a horse, it's a donkey at best. It's just a, you know, a brain, you know, jackass. And so what's going to be the next horse they ride? Well, Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton, these two assembly reps, recently went to a conference that is more frequented by Republican state legislators and are going to tell us all about the new issue. And once again, like CRT, it's going to be an issue that you'd think everybody would favor, that everybody would like. With CRT, you would think that most people would want to teach a full accounting of history, even the warts, even the downsides of American history. If you're going to teach history, teach the full lesson. A lot of people feel that's the way to go. And then, you know, people learn from it. But some manufactured anger turned it into, you know, why do we have to teach white people to hate each other? Eesh. Anyway, there's this new idea. Well, it's actually not a new idea, but the new gimmick is, again, something that you think most people would favor. But the right is going to try to turn people against it. And I'm just going to leave it teased at that point so that Representatives Hong and Shelton can tell us all about that come tomorrow. All right, so that's what's coming up there. I was looking at the manufactured grievances, and I'm trying to not react too strongly about what we're hearing from certain quarters about President Biden's trip to Ukraine, a surprise trip, a historic trip. The first time in modern history that a president has traveled into an active war zone where there was not control of the skies or the territory by the U.S. military, which you could do in Iraq or Afghanistan. You could create a bit of a bubble for the president. You can't do that in Ukraine. Especially not just, you know, flying Air Force One around, because that's not what the president did. It was a different plane, took it into Poland, and then took a 10-hour train ride across Ukraine to get to Kyiv, and then make that appearance that had been planned for quite a while. But again, the plug could have been pulled on it at any time if it looked like it was not going to be safe, or at least safe enough when you're doing risk management. And the president was able to show that unity with the Ukrainian people on this one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion, which is coming up this week. So this morning, our time, this afternoon in Moscow, Russian dictator Vladimir Putin gave an address, which was, to put it charitably, just one lie after another. Not so much defending, well, Russia saying it was defending itself from an invasion, from Western countries that want to extinguish their way of life. And again, another one of those manufactured anger people. You know, when they talk about culture and they want to get rid of our way of life. And I know so few people that want to actually get rid of somebody's way of life. If nothing, we're looking to embrace more perspectives, more viewpoints, more culture out there. But it's a convenient thing to say when you're the one who's trying to suppress somebody. And that's what Putin was doing today, talking about Ukraine. And yet you had people like, again, I don't seek to put Marjorie Taylor Greene up here on this platform. She gets enough as it is. But every so often, it reaches a point where it should be noted how very un-American she is and how much better off we would be if we could take any one of those folks at our southern border fleeing violence who want to work hard and make a better life. How much better it would be if we could trade one for one and if we could send Marjorie Taylor Greene to El Salvador and see if she can make a life there without TV cameras and without political donors. And yet there she was on President's Day putting up social media posts about the need for red states to leave the union, basically calling for, you know, civil war or at least the tearing apart the United States of America. On the day that we honor the leaders who have kept our country's fabric together through all of the rough patches over the years. But she needs division like most of us need oxygen. And though, so there she was, and she was among many conservative Republican politicians who were criticizing President Biden for going to Ukraine to stand in unity with democracy. It really frightens me to think what our world would look like today if we would have had the right-wing media sphere that we have now, if we had it back in the 1930s and 40s. I mean, there certainly were radio commentators at the time who were completely out of line and, again, working against America's best interest, but not nearly to the extent that you have a network still calling itself Fox News, even though in the Dominion lawsuit that's going on right now, proving in filing after filing that Fox staffers knew what they're doing isn't news. It's propaganda. They knew they were spewing things that were untrue. And yet it's Fox that just got 40,000 hours of Capitol surveillance footage from the January 6th insurrection. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy turned it over exclusively to Tucker Carlson, the person who's been doing most to stir up a race war and, again, wanting an outright civil war, if not a war between the sexes as well as the races. And yet now he's got that. So just a little light treason. When you consider that if another insurrection happens and if it is more successful, if the next attack on the Capitol is more successful, you'll be able to point to this week when those folks got 40,000 hours of footage figuring out where all the security cameras are, where all the entrances and exits are around the Capitol and what have you. It's something that is quite likely to happen. I want to close this segment with a few words about school board elections. Not that there are many school board primaries today, but there might be where you live. And so again, I want to talk about people whose grievance politics fuel the divisions in this country. We'll certainly get more into this as the general election campaign begins for the April 4th election. We've talked, for example, about the right-wing Moms for Liberty groups that are sprouting up like crabgrass around the state. It's safe to say that anyone, like the folks in these groups, anyone using a word like shamdemic to talk about the pandemic that killed over a million Americans, including 14,236 people in Wisconsin so far, it's safe to say they have no qualifications to talk about safeguards and schools, much less play any public service role related to education. But if such a candidate has the potential today in your community to maybe eliminate an incumbent or a candidate who's more mission-driven about the education of our children, it is that much more important that you go out and vote today. Because remember, every time you hear someone spout off about so-called parental rights and how parents need a greater role in setting the curriculum, remember that these people who think that they know better, they don't do their own C-sections or other surgeries. They don't head for the cockpit and say, I can get the plane there faster. They don't walk out to the football field, join the huddle and say, I can get that touchdown better than you can. But they sure don't hesitate to think they can stand in front of 30 kids and teach. and teach well. Far too often in this country right now, parental rights is in the same linguistic ballpark as anti-woke and religious liberty, which is to say, my feelings about what should be taught in school and my feelings about gender and sexuality are better than anyone else's feelings, especially people who don't agree with me or don't look like me or don't share my culture or my lifestyle, which of course is the normal one. That's what they mean by parental rights. And if you know there's a candidate talking like that on the ballot today, do your community a favor, get to the polls, and vote them off the island. We'll be back. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
It does, in fact, feel like we've been waiting forever, but Election Day is now here, at least the first round for what will help determine who is on the Supreme Court ballot. So be sure that you get out and vote today in that very important Supreme Court election. Thank you, Deanna, for the note on Facebook. Good morning to all of you in Lake Geneva. A reminder as well that if you want to be part of the conversation, you can go to Facebook, where we're also streaming a video version of this radio show. Leave your comment there, or just come join us. Goodness knows, I probably said enough to anger somebody in that last segment, and so you can reach us at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155, or send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And as you just heard Don Roos say, you can look for the work that our reporters do at upnorthnewswi.com, because Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media and the radio stations. This is like the coming together of the Venn diagram. Again, reminding us that we understand a Venn diagram better than, you know, former Governor Scott Walker. Do you remember that from 2018 when Scott Walker tried to show off a Venn diagram and it didn't work so well?
Yeah, for better or for worse. You know, you wouldn't think that two overlapping circles is that hard, but...
And yet it did. So we're the fun little convergence here of Civic Media and Courier Newsroom, and we're again always appreciative of being able to talk to you here. And again, to get our newsletter, go to upnorthnewswi.com, click on newsletter in the top banner. We would love to have you as a subscriber, and we would love to have you as a follower on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're going to talk more about TikTok in the next hour, but you know, wherever you are for that. If you were getting the newsletter, which came out, was issued just a little bit ago, came out just before 6 a.m. today's edition. It's Election Day, and the newsletter told you all about how today's election and then the follow-up on April. That's worth noting. And my apologies if we had a little internet glitch there. But, you know, the New York Times has been talking about how this is an election that carries bigger policy stakes than pretty much any other contest in America. Politico calls it the most important election that nobody's heard of. And they're not wrong, because today's election and then probably the face-off on April 4th will determine the future of reproductive rights for women in Wisconsin. It will determine the future of legislative maps. It will determine the powers of the governor. And it may very well have an impact on the 2024 presidential race. Wisconsin was the tightest of the battleground states, the closest of the battleground states. And if Dan Kelly, who is on today's ballot, because he was on the Supreme Court once upon a time, but if he had still been on the court in November and December of 2020, there could have been such a change in the nature of politics here, where a Supreme Court run by right-wing justices could have thrown out tens of thousands of legally cast votes in this state. And if Dan Kelly gets back on the court in April, or if Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro gets back on the court in April, these two hardline conservatives, trained at a law school founded and still run by TV preacher Pat Robertson, either one of them would have the potential with a 10-year term in office to determine that the current rigged maps stay in place, that Dropboxes don't come back, and that there'll be even more restrictions on how ballots are cast and who can cast a ballot. That and more is on the ballot. The reproductive freedom of women, because there is a case out there challenging the 1849 abortion ban. It's out there. It's going to eventually make its way to the state Supreme Court, except that we don't know yet who that swing justice will be, if there will be a swing justice, or if there will still be a conservative majority versus a progressive majority. Now, there are two progressive candidates on the ballot. Both of them agreed to sit down for interviews with us, and we aired those 8 days ago. And you can still find them and video snippets of them over at Up North News on Facebook or at the Civic Media website, Civic Media US. Go there, civicmedia.us, I should say. Go to the Up North News page for the show, scroll down, and you'll see the interviews there with Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz. You will be impressed by both interviews. You will be, if you didn't hear them last week, you will be impressed with their stories of what brought them to public service. And that to me is always the key thing. It's about public service. It's not about some political notion of, you know, originalist intent or enforce law and order. You know, again, all these key phrases that are really just ways, cleverly disguised ways of saying keep the status quo in place. And if you still have a problem out there in society, well, that's on you, you know, because we're doing just fine over here. These folks want the public service component that comes with being a justice to look at the law and to say, how does it apply to the situations that we have today? Not 1849, when white men were the only ones in politics and they could control women any way they wanted. And not years before that, when the Second Amendment was written about muskets and militias that were needed to ward off a British invasion, which is not something we would face today. What does the law mean today? Do we have today the notion of one person, one vote? Or has gerrymandering made the system unworkable for democracy? You had a U.S. Supreme Court that could have overthrown gerrymandering based on partisan basis some years back. And an Eau Claire woman was among the plaintiffs in that case. But Justice Anthony Kennedy, right before he retired, and other justices decided to punt on it. They basically wanted to deny what their eyes were showing them about how a political class in this country was rigging the maps and making it nearly impossible for voters to actually have their will be heard at the ballot box. That's the kind of outlook we would likely get as well if the conservative candidates, Dan Kelly or Jennifer Durrell, were to get in. But Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell told an amazing story about working his way through college when he thought that he wasn't going to succeed. And then a couple of teachers took him aside and said they recognized something in him and they wanted to help him work to get better, and he did get better and now has multiple degrees and is a preacher as well as a judge. And now he works with troubled youth in much the same way that he was that troubled youth himself. And then there was Judge Janet Protasiewicz, who recognized that democracy itself is on the ballot and that, you know, a woman's healthcare rights are on the ballot itself. And she talked about, you know, again, getting her law school degree at Marquette and Everett Mitchell getting his at the University of Wisconsin, as opposed to a TV preacher's law school and the mission that came along with that. These are all the things that are at stake and will be at stake again, perhaps come April 4th, because again, at the risk of repeating myself, but I just don't think it can be repeated enough, is how exactly a Supreme Court primary works. That there is one open seat a conservative justice, Pat Rogensack, is retiring. Conservatives control the court right now, 4-3. So with her stepping down, if a progressive were to win this seat come April, progressives would have a majority on the court, 4-3, for the first time in many years. And you would almost certainly see actions to bring state law and Supreme Court cases more in line with where the public believes the law should be today, with things like, you know, freedom to control your body, freedom to control your vote, and so forth. You would see those kinds of changes. But we don't know for sure that a progressive will even be one of the final two candidates on the ballot in April, because today voters will be asked to choose one of those four candidates. But then the top two vote getters advance to April. It could be the two progressives. It could be one progressive and one conservative. It could, if enough progressives stay home today, if enough independent voters stay home today, if just a whole lot of fans of, you know, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham and Ron DeSantis, you know, if they're all listening to their right-wing radio stations right now and being told again and again to vote, and if they're the ones that show up, we could end up with both the conservatives on the April ballot, Duro versus Kelly. And either way, it would ensure a conservative majority on the court for years to come, which is what makes this primary so important. It's why you've heard about it so much, is to make sure that voters have a real choice come April. And I will caution again that this general election battle that starts tomorrow, when we know who the final two candidates are, the general election battle from tomorrow till April 4th is going to be unlike anything we have ever seen in terms of state Supreme Court races. And I know we just came off a bruising campaign that led up to November in the elections for governor and U.S. Senate. And they were not pretty. And Ron Johnson and his billionaire backers made it so much uglier than it was already going to be. And voter fatigue is a real thing. But like fatigue in any other endeavor, at some point, we've got to get back off the bench and go do what needs to be done. And that happens today. And that's what happens on Tuesday. And if you do those things, that's how we're going to wind up with a Supreme Court that can actually do the will of Wisconsin voters over the next few years. You know, as we learned yesterday, Dan Kelly, who had been on the Supreme Court previously, when he was unseated by Jill Karofsky in 2020, immediately got a good paying gig with the Republican Party, the state party, and the national party, which brought him on as some kind of legal counsel. He got paid $120,000 for it. And some of his work included being part of discussions about the fake electors. He was looped into conversations that there were going to be people who posed as Trump electors, would fill out fraudulent paperwork indicating that Donald Trump had won Wisconsin when actually Joe Biden had. And despite the defense at the time that it was a just in case move, in case there was some irregularity in Wisconsin, we learned because of the January 6th committee that the Trump campaign knew that there were no irregularities out there. They were concocting the story. And then they were concocting the fake electors scheme in case it worked, in case they were able to convince the U.S. Justice Department or a conservative state Supreme Court someplace to throw out ballots that conceivably on January 6th, Ron Johnson could have walked that fraudulent ballot that was in his office. He could have walked it to Vice President Mike Pence. And if Mike Pence had gone along, he would have thrown out your votes in Wisconsin and wrote what was on the piece of paper that this Donald Trump-led conspiracy caused to be on that piece of paper. And Dan Kelly was a legal advisor as part of that process. And he's on the ballot now. So if he gets on the state Supreme Court and will be there in a couple of years after the 2024 presidential election, and if it's really close, What do you think he's going to do? Do you think he and perhaps Jennifer Doro are going to come down on the side of voters having the right to cast their ballots? Or will they concoct some kind of story, much like they did in getting rid of drop boxes? The process of answering that question starts with you today in the ballot box. We'll take a break, get a little history lesson and a music break coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday. Time for a music break. No, this song wasn't just written for whatever commercial you might have heard it on. This is Nina Simone, who was born Eunice Wayman in 1933 on this date. She passed away in 2003. Began playing piano at the age of 3 before becoming a bit of a music legend, shall we say, in this country. Other birthdays today include Anthony Daniels is 77 years old today. You're probably not familiar with Anthony Daniels. He's better known as C-3PO. And he, in that robot suit, is the only actor to have been involved in every main Star Wars movie, as well as most of the spin-offs, movies, shows, and games. The man knew how to hitch his wagon to one particular star and just keep riding it. Alan Rickman was born on this day in 1946. He passed away 7 years ago. Best known for playing Snape in the Harry Potter series, Hans Gruber in Die Hard, and many others. One more from the history books, Malcolm X was assassinated on this day in 1965 while giving a speech in Harlem. Let's get back to the birthdays with one more here. One of my favorite songs from one of my favorite people, Mary Chapin Carpenter, is 65 years old today. She is a 5-time Grammy winner, and that hit, He Thinks He'll Keep Her, is from her huge 1992 album, Come On, Come On, with more than 3 million sold. And I have to say, I think that this particular song, well, first off, the title, He Thinks He'll Keep Her, is a play on the old Geritol ads from the 70s and 80s. With this really paternalistic, you know, misogynistic husband looking at his wife and going, "My wife, I think I'll keep her," which caused women everywhere to roll their eyes. And frankly, this song ought to be mandatory listening for any guy before he gets married about, you know, do not take your family and your spouse for granted. On this day in 2001, Shakira won her very first Grammy Award when her MTV Unplugged record won for Best Latin Pop Album. All right, more music. Let's get to the 70s next. Aaron, any chance Jungle Boogie was in your musical vernacular once upon a time?
Yeah, okay. We played it in pep band a lot.
Ah, okay, of course, pep band. So anyway, this by Kool and the Gang was certified gold on February 21st, 1974. I would not have guessed 74, and I was around back then. I would have said it was a 76, maybe 77 kind of song. So I want to hear, tell me more about pep band and the songs that you only would have known because they were played in pep band.
Well, I knew this song besides that. You know, it was on oldies stations and things like that, but...
I'm trying to think of the Saturday Night Live skit for many years. The high school band, they called themselves, I think, Jazz Times 10. And I think they just kind of made fun of all the trumpet songs, you know, the horn songs that were played on rock stations back in the day. And so I just wondered if the pep band experience, I'm sure it was, in hindsight now, you know, whimsical, but do you look back at some of the songs now and go, "Oof, I don't care if I ever hear that song ever again"?
Surprisingly, not really. I think that we had a pretty decent selection, and it was always fun. So
good, okay. See, I kind of likened it to, we were talking over the weekend about things that you can't eat anymore because you had so much of it, and for me, it would be Tombstone Pizza, once upon a time, if not still made in Medford, Wisconsin, and Totino's Frozen Pizza. As a kid, we had Totino's Frozen Pizza all the time. As a college student, I had Tombstone Pizza all the time. I don't think I could have any one of them ever again. I can barely drink Mountain Dew ever again because of everything I had in college. And I just kind of wondered if maybe there was if maybe some songs fell into that category for you.
I mean, there's definitely some songs that fall into that category. This isn't one we played in pep band, but Don't Stop Believing is a song that I'll be okay never hearing again. But I know that's literally impossible.
Yes. You know, it's funny. Every time I hear people like to say that Starships, We Built This City is the worst song that ever charted. And my comeback is always that will never be true as long as Sister Christian from Night Ranger exists. That was the worst song that had ever topped the charts.
I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I'll take that as a blessing.
Good. Don't play it here because I don't want that earworm. Do not put that evil on me, Sounds Ricky good. Bobby. One from the 80s here from this day, REO Speedwagon's High Infidelity album hit number one on the album chart on February 21st, 1981, including this one. There's a reason why I chose this one other than besides the other hits that were on there. Grandpa's got a story here. Working at TV 10, which was the college TV station at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, broadcasting from the basement of the Towers dormitory. And so I was there as we would do news, we would campus news, we would do weather casts. There were sports shows, there were game shows. I was actually the host of our takeoff on Family Feud called Wing Feud. And where, you know, roommates would compete there. I was on the roommate game, their takeoff of the newlywed game, with my then new girlfriend at the time. We posed as co-ed roommates, even though we weren't actually living together, and we won because we knew enough about each other. Apparently, our dating conversations were very good. Anyway, this song gets tied into it because for one moment of insanity on a weekend, on a Saturday night, we took over the studio, and we were seeing all these rock videos. You know, rock videos were still pretty new at the time. MTV was still pretty new at the time. And we decided we were going to make our own by lip syncing to various, you know, songs. And I'm pretty sure all the tapes have been burned, but maybe not. And this Don't Let Him Go from REO was one of those. And you can see, I can still see my colleagues from the TV station playing the air drums because there's a lot of drums in this one, and the keyboard where your fingers aren't really moving at all. I mean, it's not fooling anybody. We had such a blast making it. Then we watched it, and I think most of us wanted to make sure that video was never ever seen again, because unlike nowadays, when you put something up to the interwebs and it goes into the cloud, it just stays there forever. We still lived in an era where you could conveniently erase the tape and get rid of it.
And I'm sure you're grateful for that. Yeah, we've got a lot of people who grew up with TikTok, yes, but before TikTok, it used to be Musical.ly, which was basically exclusively what you just described, but like 10-year-olds doing it, and it was very, very bad.
And that's the thing, is that you do things now as a preteen, as a teen, and now there are people who are adults running for office or athletes who have to explain something that they made when they were like 14. And we frankly should give them a bit of a break,
yeah.
Not entirely, but let's kind of keep that part in mind, shall we? All right, well, that'll take care of the music break this time around. Although I do want to say between, if not today, then sometime this week, we're going to take a music break with network news themes. I stumbled upon a treasure trove of old themes from the 60s and 70s. That's coming up at some point here. You're up north.